Hello and welcome to the 108th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas athletics, primarily North Texas football. Harry, we had week one against LSU last week. Good game, bad game. What do you think?
I think really good game. The score itself, 41-14. I was reading some of the news articles, you know, LSU runs away. You know, they indicated it was a big blowout. I didn't see it that way. I felt like, you know, there were some bad calls, which you're always going to get in these games. I've said it on the last three podcasts. I hate playing these games. But
yeah, you were very adamant about that.
I was very adamant about it. So I guess, you know, the way things turned out, I was very positive about the way things turned out because I expected it to be a lot worse than it was. The reality of it is, was it a blowout victory? Yeah, on paper. But in terms of actually watching the game and what transpired, you can't help but be excited if you're a North Texas fan. We're starting to compete with not just programs in the Sun Belt, but the, you know, one of the best programs in the country. And maybe I've got green-colored glasses on, but there's a lot of other fans on the board and North Texas fans in general that walked away from that game feeling pretty darn good about themselves.
I'll tell you this. When you go back and look at how people reacted to this game, I have not seen one of these body bag games I can remember where we lost and we felt this good. There was a lot of positives to come out of this game. You know, one of the things that just got people fired up, and both of them, you and I were both at watching parties. I was in Allen, you were in Louisville. The thing was, is when we sacked their quarterback and knocked him out of the game, you know, that was a great corner blitz. But the fact was, is a lineman made it with a great swim move right there and was about to get him anyway. So you had potentially three guys back there that would have sacked him. I feel good about that. I feel good about the pressure we got on him. We sacked their quarterback three times. That's a decent number against an SEC team that's projected to be, you know, the top five. I think that's great. How many times did they sack us?
Zero.
Zero. And yeah. I think that speaks volumes about our offensive line.
Well, we're making progress, and the reason – I'm not saying I don't ever want to play these games. I just – you know, I like playing these games when we have a chance to really do something, when we've got an opportunity, like way back when Brandon Kennedy and that crew, you know, held Texas scoreless the second half. Well, the truth was we didn't have any offense. We weren't going to win the game. But, dadgummit, that was almost a victory of sorts to play that good a team that – you know, close on their own home field. I wasn't sure that we were there yet this year, and you could argue we weren't. I mean, we did lose the game by a pretty wide margin, but you see the signs that things are getting better. You see that we're getting more physical. You see a secondary that we had a redshirt freshman starter for the first time at a new position get an interception. The big hit by Hilbert, like you mentioned, that's a huge play. I mean, that's a highlight reel play for a long time. There were some really bright spots. And, you know, it's exciting going into the rest of the season because, like someone said on the board earlier today, is there really a game that we don't have a shot to win in?
After seeing our performance against LSU, you gotta feel positive. Let's look at some of the other scores. Michigan got beat by Alabama.
By about the same score.
About the same score. SMU got beat by Baylor.
SMU got killed.
By Baylor. Is Baylor a ranked team? No. I mean, you look at some of these things. Houston got beat by Texas State.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what does Texas State have? Well, we don't really know there. But Houston, you know, I guess this is kind of their hangover from their great season last year.
Well, and I'm kind of, you know, we're going to have Brett on tonight. I'm kind of excited to talk to Brett because he's got to do a little backpedaling on the Houston thing. He was pretty much saying, hey, Houston, that's a loss for North Texas. No chance in hell North Texas is going to win that. So, you know, now, can
yeah,
you really
I want to know what
that?
His schedule. I want to know what his thinking is. Let's look at some of the stats here that I pulled up at the LSU game. I mean, you know, I know it was a loss, but I felt good about it. One of the other things is I don't feel like the team – gave up.
Never.
I feel like, and you know, a lot of people have talked about the conditioning of the team. LSU was winded. They were tired. They had players.
They had hands on the hips.
They were. Yeah. We, for the first time in a long time, I felt like our guys were better conditioned, ready for this game. And maybe they were playing on a high because of a couple of big plays. And what can you say about Breland Chancellor?
I think he's special.
That is SEC speed. And he beat the secondary.
He did. He outran them. It's you know, he has to be considered, you know, probably our biggest offensive threat right now next to, you know, the quarterback. But clearly, as far as big play capability, is there anyone else on the team that can do what he can do? And that's exciting because, hey, he's just a junior this year. We still got him for another year after this. So I think you got to figure out how to get him the ball. I mean, that was an amazing – you know, there's a couple of examples. The Hilbert Jackson's huge sack knocked their quarterback out, you know, knocked him out. And then the touchdown run where he outran, you know, the fastest guys on their team in the secondary. There's two things you can hang your hat on there. No, we didn't win the game. We weren't going to win the game. But those are things, you know, and that tells you our fan base, man, they I have not seen things so optimistic on the board after a 44 – you know, after that kind of loss.
Because there was a lot of good things. And you know, LSU didn't – I mean, they put in some of their second, you know, second team guys and things. But, you know, overall, they were really, you know, hurting. They were tired. You know, looking at the stats here, one of the things, net yards rushing, you know, they had 300 yards. We had 70. You know, average yards per rush. But look at this number down here, yards lost rushing. We had 23 yards lost rushing. They had 35. You know – like I said, our offensive line, I think, did a heck of a job. I think we got some promising things for the running backs.
We couldn't move them, you know, in the power running game because, mark my words, we're trying to become a power running team again under Mack, and he wants to smash mouth it on people, and he's going to in time. Hopefully it'll be, you know, this season. But you're not going to move some of those NFL draft choices that they've got on their defensive line out of the way. The fact that we didn't have any sacks was great. You know, turnovers, you know, the Jeremy Brown, I thought that was so interesting. It was late in the game. The game was over. But, boy, when he turned that ball over, Mack came unglued.
Were you surprised at McCartney's reaction to the loss? I honestly thought we'd hear the same old, you know, the guys gave it a great shot. You can hang their head high. We had some great plays. But that wasn't the reaction we got at all.
I love the reaction. I think the reaction from Mack was absolutely appropriate. He was not happy. He was not satisfied. You know, the whole thing about slapping each other on the back and smiling and laughing after playing a big opponent like LSU or Alabama or whatever else, that's got to change. You know, that's got to change. Just like, you know, former players, you know, pulling for LSU instead of North Texas has got to change. You know, I mean, we've got to start having an attitude for success. And I think Mack is the best thing that's happened to this football program in a long time. And every year that he's here, we're going to get better.
All right. A couple other things I want to point out in the stats before we move on. But let's look at this possession time. I don't know if you saw that stat. First quarter, we had the ball for 8 minutes. They had it for six, which, you know, that says a lot for the offense being able to keep control of the ball. I mean, you know, we were moving it. Maybe we weren't completely successful, but at least we were doing something with it. Second quarter, pretty much even, 714 to 746. So first, second quarters, we led that. Third quarter, they had it for 10 minutes. We had it for four. You know, that is what is on there.
Well, I mean, the complaints, here's where I'm going to throw some darts. Okay, first off, you don't come out against that team and go three and out like we did.
Right.
You cannot do
exactly
that and expect to have the momentum just shifted completely on their side right mm-hmm. away when that happened. So we've got to be more, you know, and why was that three and out? It wasn't because the receivers weren't open. It wasn't because the quarterback didn't get the ball. It's because we had two drops. I mean, two clear drops in that first drive. You've yep. got to execute.
Exactly. That was the difference. They were catching the ball. We weren't. Fourth quarter, we had about 2 minutes more possession time. About a minute and a half more possession time than they did. So when you look at it all, you know, the numbers, yeah, it was 41 to 14. Typical story. We give up the big plays. But when you look at some of the things, we were hoping for a good play by the offensive line. We got it. We were hoping to see some of the running backs could do a few things. Okay, we did see a little bit of that. We were hoping to see good things out of Breland Chancer. We did see that. The offense, I mean, the way the defense was playing, I think it was exciting. I mean, as much – we had a pass rush. When was the last time we can say we had a pass rush against a team of this
caliber?
And we're
more physical, and the secondary – oh, my gosh, the secondary looks miles ahead. This is a secondary that's without – Warner, who is thought to be one of the top players in the secondary, he's going to be out till midseason, or if he even plays this season. I'm telling you what, man, Hilbert Jackson, he looks like a player. He's big. He can run. He made some mistakes, but then you've got on the on one side, and then you've got Whitfield who gets the INT at just change of possession. I mean, you got to look at the secondary and say, wow, man, this could be a really good secondary in a year or two.
Right, and then let's talk about the defense. The defensive players, Laramie Lee. He had 4 solo tackles, 7 assists, total of 11.
Led the team in tackles. Had more tackles than Zach Orr, which some people complain, we don't want to see our strong safety lead the team in tackles. But you know what?
I'm glad we have somebody that can do it.
And the thing I got to give him credit for, he was the guy on the – I've been ranting and raving all week about the missed call on the first LSU touchdown. There was a clear hold. It was a crackback hold from a wide receiver on Laramie Lee. Now, the downside is our lineman got blocked to another universe, so there was a gaping hole. But what I loved about that play was Lee was there. He read the play. He was ready to make the play. And then he just got held. Now, I talked to the SID. Evidently, McCarney and the coaching staff provide evaluations to the officials after every single game. You can pretty much bet that play is going to be on the list of things. The reality of it is it didn't get called. They scored a touchdown. You know, such is life when you play the LSUs of the world and you got an SEC officiating crew. But Lee, he's a little undersized, but the guy can play, and he likes to hit. And that is something we've needed desperately at that position.
Right. Well, overall, I think we felt really good about it. And seeing some of our opponents like Houston go down in flames, seeing Middle Tennessee absolutely just get – you know, that was just ridiculous what happened to them. Florida Atlantic got beat pretty soundly. I mean,
well, if you hadn't, and I know we've already made our plans to go to Houston, and a lot of people have. We're going to have a great crowd in Houston.
Yes,
but if you haven't made your plans for that Houston game, all of a sudden, now you got a reason to, because that Houston game's winnable. A great game to watch this weekend is going to be Louisiana Tech is traveling to Houston to play Houston. You know, that's a game before the season started. You think U of H is going to win. Now, all of a sudden, you may even think they're going to lose. So that's a real interesting game to watch. I would not want to be Louisiana Tech the week after Houston, having to play Houston the week after they lost to Texas State.
Exactly right. You know, there's their offensive coordinator resigned.
Well, was forced to resign, I would think. But, yeah, that definitely some drama in H-Town. You know, a lot of anticipation into this season. Pelond or Pelond, the quarterback that they've got, it just had a horrible day, you know, in that first game. So they laid an egg. Maybe they've got talent. We know it because we've lost recruits to them for it seems like the last decade. They've got talent. We're gonna have to find out if they can put it all together against Louisiana Tech this weekend.
And you know the Big East is just excited as can be to have SMU who got throttled by Houston. By Baylor, excuse me. And then Houston who got beat by a team that's now just moving up and is not, wasn't it? They were expected to win that game by like 40, 50 points or something.
I don't think the logical SMU fan expected them to blow out Baylor or anything or maybe even win. But they thought they'd be competitive.
They thought Gilbert was going to be their guy.
They thought they'd be competitive.
And that game was not as close as it was.
I watched that game. Now, I will say this. They got every bad call in the world, every bad break that could happen. But it was a blowout, man. It was June Jones's face told the story.
Oh,
he was so pissed off.
How great was
during
that
game? And so, you know, I mean, I feel good. You don't feel good about losing, but I felt good about the performance. I like the way this team is coming together. You just got to keep it going against Texas Southern. The one thing that scared me about Texas State, you know, winning that game against Houston, we're in the same situation. I mean, Texas State is basically one of those 1AA programs. Now they're transitional 1A. Here's the problem with 1AA programs or FCS, whatever the hell you want to call it. They get transfers from big-time programs because they don't have to sit out a year. This team we're playing today, I went through their roster. They got some guys from some places that, you know, you're looking at them, you know, 6'5", 330 pounds. Why is he on Texas Southern's team? Well, because he probably went somewhere else. Things didn't work out. He bounces back to Texas Southern and can continue his career. So don't take them lightly. They've got two good running quarterbacks. They won their game last week. They're on a roll. They're looking. This is like their bowl game. You know, they got a chance. This is the biggest game on their schedule this year, is to play at North Texas. The band's coming. What is it? Ocean of Sound. This, we cannot take this game lightly. This would be a terrible loss, terrible setback. We've got to take care of business.
Right. Let's go through a couple other scores in the Sun Belt. Teams we're going to be playing. McNeese State beat Middle Tennessee. That was, you know, Middle Tennessee has just got a bad thing working for them right now.
I think Stock still sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. That's not good. Florida Atlantic barely beat Wagner.
Wagner with an enrollment of 2,400. Yeah.
This was a junior college, I thought. Troy beat UAB.
That was a big win for
yeah,
Troy.
Yeah, they won by 10.
Yeah, that's a big interstate. That helps them in recruiting a lot.
Here's another interesting one. San Antonio beat South Alabama 33-31.
Well, I was pulling for UT San Antonio. That was a great game. That might have been the best contest of the entire Sun Belt slate last week. You know, big win, last minute win, I believe. You know,
yep.
That's a nice victory for Coach Coker.
And I'd have to say, their quarterback is a family friend, so it's always good to see him do well. Not against us, but he is a good quarterback, and he is the leader of that team, and that's good to see.
They're a future conference mate, and you know, hey, I wish South Alabama well, but you know, they're in the Sun Belt, and UTSA is going to be in Conference USA, sure. So you want them to win when they're not playing us.
Yeah. Florida International lost to Duke, 26-46.
Surprised me a little bit. I thought they'd be a little more competitive
right.
than that.
I mean, who did T.Y. Hilton graduated?
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
He?
They still got picked in the top two or three in the Sun Belt by most prognosticators. Right. So they're still a good team. That was just, you know, Duke was better.
Right. La beat Lamar. Western Kentucky beat Austin Peay. P.A.? How do you say that?
I think it's P.
Okay.
Austin Peay.
And Oregon obviously beat up on Arkansas State. You know, there's a and that was a decent showing, I guess. 34-57. Scored 34 points.
It was a blowout. They came back and scored most of those points at the tail end of the game.
Okay, I didn't see
Oregon definitely stepped off the throttle quite a bit. Hey, Arkansas State, they lost a lot of defensive players. They're going to try to outscore everybody in the Sun Belt. That's the bottom line.
Alabama this week takes on Western Kentucky. So, let's see. Florida International plays Akron. Louisiana Monroe plays Arkansas. So a lot of there's still a lot of bowdy bag games in the conference, the belt this week.
Who does Western Kentucky play this week?
Western Kentucky plays Alabama.
That could be Alabama's probably going to kill them and everything else, but Western Kentucky plays sort of a smash mouth style. They've got some damn good offensive linemen. That's kind of an intriguing game, even though I know they're probably not going to win. That could be interesting for a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they scored 49 points, but that was, of course, against Austin Peay. You know, the thing is, Alabama's coming off to get that win against Michigan. They are pretty strong.
They're very strong. I think they may be stronger than LSU. I can't wait to see them in LSU play.
You know, you got to wonder what SMU's got right now. Middle Tennessee plays Fort Atlantic. Got a couple of Bell games. Louisiana Lafayette plays Troy. Like I said, Louisiana Monroe plays Arkansas. That'll be over before it starts. Middle Tennessee, Florida Atlantic. So, I don't know who's going to win the Middle Tennessee, Florida Atlantic. It's whoever.
Yeah. And our pick'em contest on goaminggreen.com, that's the game this coming week that is it could go either way. I mean, I think it's like 60-40 or something like that.
Pillow fight.
That's going to be the interesting pick'em game this week.
All right. So we're playing Texas Southern.
Yes.
And I can tell you, I know nothing about Texas Southern, but that they have a great band.
They have a great band that is traveling to Denton.
And that's exciting.
That is exciting. That's going to be a great performance to look forward to at halftime. What can I say? I don't know a whole lot about them. I know they won last week. I know.
Who did they play last week?
Oh,
anybody
gosh.
Of any consequence? I'm looking up the scores from one double.
Another FCS program, and I can't remember who it was.
All right, we'll keep going.
But the thing I will say about them, you know, they're going through some rough patches right now. They went through an NCAA inquiry and had to admit to some misproprieties. Nothing on the scale of Penn State, mind you, but they're a program that's going through some issues. The reality of it is they've got a new head coach. I was looking, they had a roster up, but they didn't have pictures of the players. They're probably going through some transition right now, But the reality is, just like Coach Mack said in the radio show, I think he said there's 6 or 8 or 9 guys on that team that could easily be in the 2 deep on our roster. They have some players. And so you just cannot take them lightly. And they're, like we said earlier, this is a bowl game for them. This is their biggest game of the year. I don't think they can go to a bowl or even participate in the playoffs because of the NCAA situation, but this is their chance to really shine. So it's a scary game from that perspective.
Well, and you got to wonder how much of the, you know, the McCarney, you guys, we went down there to win. You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
You know, because if he appraised them against LSU, they would have thought that it was just a walk game. You know, oh, this is something we can walk through and win this game. But, you know, just like you see what happened to Houston, just like what you see happened to Minnesota State, you can't look past those.
No, you can't. And it's, you know, it's one of those wins that you could look back and say, you know, this was a game that we built off of, or this was a game where we just really struggled. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the end of the day, you want to get the W, but we just cannot take them lightly. And we need a good crowd, and we need a big win. This would be a good way to head into the K-State game.
It looks like it's Sticks put on here, the NCAA cut their scholarships due to grades and aren't eligible for the 1AA playoffs.
So this is their bowl game.
Yeah, they played Texas Prairie View A&M last week and won by 3 points. So that was a pretty close game, 44-41. So you know, they're coming off a win and they're feeling good about themselves. So we just can't look past it. But the main thing is it's a home game for us, one of our 5 home games. So,
right.
And the weather could not be better. It looks like we're going to get a cold front end Friday night.
It's going to cool down.
It's going to cool down, maybe a little shower overnight. And then the high is going to be in the mid-80s. How great is that?
It's football weather. That's exactly what we're looking for, and actually coming a little bit earlier this year than maybe in years past. So get out there, enjoy it.
I'm wondering
how
the tailgating crews, you know, the guys that always spend the night out there, Emmett and those guys, I wonder how that's going to work.
I mean, they're gonna be there.
All right, good. So they might get a little wet, but yeah. Gomeen Green tent. Are we setting that up?
Yeah, we're gonna be over on Victory, by the Victory, the fringe of the Victory lot, over there with Tony and Joe and the crew over there. I mean,
so for those of you want to stop by, if you know where the Alumni Pavilion is, we're nowhere near there.
No, we are not. We are on the right by Victory Hall.
Just a
little
right
bit by the Kitty Land.
Yeah, and if it's in the same place it was last year. The kids area, if you're looking at the kids area, directly to your left is kind of a road sidewalk going up the hill there, and that's where the tent will be. And I guess we're going to have the sign out there, gomeengreen.com.
Yeah, everything willing, the sign will be there. And
we probably,
you know,
should have discussed this before.
We probably should have planned that out before, but we have the sign. We should have it up on the tent. Everything should be good to go. You're welcome to come. We'd love to have you. There's a lot of guys that have their own scene out there, which is cool. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a blast. I mean, if I'm sure a lot of people got to experience that last year. If you haven't, you need to do it. It's fun. It's to me, well, I mean, the game is always the biggest thing, but tailgating is a very close second.
That's right. I think Harry and I'll be wearing probably the camp shirts or the black shirts, say gomeengreen.com.
Come grab us,
so
say
if you
hello.
See us, yeah. One of the things that we're really focusing on doing is, and Harry and I both have passes, and Harry will be on the sidelines taking a lot of pictures too, is we want to see pictures of fans,
yeah,
the tailgating. You know, everybody can take pictures of a player running around, and that's great, and that's great to see and all, but the most feedback we get are pictures of player of fans in the stands, pictures of the tailgating. We put those in the galleries. People love seeing those. So if you see us walking around, you got a tailgate going there, or even if you want to take them yourself, send them to us. We'll post them on the board if you can't do it. We want to get those pictures out because that's what people want to see. The tailgating experience has become so great at North Texas that, you know, that's what people want to be part of. And
that's what gets you when your program's down, like ours has been. You know, the good news is it's getting better, but that tailgating is a great draw. You know, if you can get people out there and let them do the tailgating, you will find out that 9 times out of 10, they want to come back. So get as many people as you can and get out there Saturday. It's going to be a good time.
All right, the kickoff is at 6 o'clock. I mean, that's what great. People will be tailgating out there all day. Some will be coming in after lunch. Fraternities and sororities will be in full tilt. Are they doing the thing like last year where the team basically gets on the bus, drives around the building, comes in, walks through the
Mean Green Walk.
Can you say what time it's
going to
be?
The game starts at 6. I'm guessing it's probably about 4 or 4:30.
Yeah, that's what it was last year.
And they walk right down that concrete walk. It walks right by our tailgate, actually. It's pretty cool.
I can tell you right now that, you know, listening and then seeing the people that were tweeting and stuff last year, when that bus comes down and makes that little U-turn loop through there, and then the fraternities and everybody knows what's going on, and everybody just starts going crazy. You know, and the players just eat that up, and they feel, you know, everybody getting excited about this.
Awesome.
So it's going to be great. So if you one of the newer group people out there, make sure you tailgate. I mean, make sure you go out there, at least walk around. The bathrooms, one other thing we got to mention always, the bathrooms over in the victory lot and the bathrooms to the guest side of the stadium are open.
Yeah,
they open to the inside and they open to the outside. Before the game, you walk in from the outside and come back out that way. During the game, the outside door is locked. You just go on the other side. It's a great design. Make sure you take advantage of those.
Absolutely.
So, all right, we're going to go ahead and pause the podcast for those of you listening on the internet. And for those of you that subscribe to iTunes, is one thing I want to bring up. Go in there and put a rating or just give us some kind of a feedback on that. We got a lot of people say they listen on iTunes. A lot of them listen on the way to work. You know, usually a commute on the way home, way back. Can you give us just a thumbs up on that or something, just so we can give like some acknowledgement on there? We got a couple of ratings, I think. But what happened was is we had 100 so podcasts, or actually about 80, and then we switched over and did another 80, or we started doing some new ones. We lost all the information before that when we switched sites. That's the power of Apple. Just because of the way you had to switch the site. So we kind of have to rebuild that. So we're going to go ahead and pause. For those of you listening on Ustream, give us a second. We're going to get Brett Vito on the phone, and we'll discuss with him and see how shocked he was or unshocked or what he thought of everything and what he thinks of this week. 1 second. All right, once again, we are lucky to be joined by the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Brett, we have to ask you, were you surprised at the outcome of the LSU game? You know, what were your feelings on that? I mean, I know a lot of people have read what you've written about it, but now that the week's gone on for a few days, you had time to digest. What are your feelings?
I don't know. I don't think anybody was real surprised by it. I mean, the score's a little closer than I think a lot of people thought. North Texas made some pretty good defensive stands down there deep in their own territory. You know, you get the interception by Whitfield down on the goal line. You get a missed field goal down there. So they made some good stands, and North Texas ended up busting a big play or two with Breland. And, that made the score a little bit closer than what I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. They more than covered the spread. So I think there's some positives in that.
Brett, do you think that the play of the secondary for North Texas was – you know, something of a surprise? I mean, we've been, you know, talking all summer about how green North Texas was in the secondary, and it really wasn't the secondary that killed them against LSU. It was more the running game.
Yeah, I thought those guys did play really well for their first game. I mean, one of those guys you hadn't really seen out there a lot, you know, just because they had lost pretty much everybody. And when you lose everybody, I think that's an obvious concern in a situation like that. But you know, Hilbert had the big hit on the sack, and then Whitfield, made a great play on the ball to get an interception, and I thought those guys did some really good things back there, which is a good sign, because I mean, I think that without a doubt is one of the big question marks for the team heading into the year.
Brett, the big play by Hilbert Jackson, knocking the LSU quarterback out for a little bit. That was something that was talked about a lot this week. Jackson was another guy that was kind of a question mark. Do you think that obviously Mac didn't say that this was like the biggest game, you know, that he wasn't happy about losing by that kind of margin, but do you think that this was a game that had enough plays that North Texas can use that to kind of build their confidence as they head into the more realistic, part of the schedule?
Well, I would think so. I mean, I'm sure publicly McCartney is saying, and I think privately too, in the locker room, I think that the whole deal he has with his team is, trying to change the culture of the program, which, there's kind of a losing culture within the program. I mean, they've lost for so long, none of those guys have ever won at all. And, you know, I think there was just kind of an attitude that bothered him that it was all okay, you know, if we had some, if they had some bright things to point to in a game, even if they got absolutely murdered. And you heard that for years and years and years. Well, I think he's trying to instill the idea that, you know, they're there to win games. And, you know, that's the kind of attitude he wants to have. But I think, you know, when they go back and look at it and break it apart, I'm sure they'll point to a lot of things that they can build from that game. I don't see how they couldn't.
Brett, we had a question in the chat room regarding the quarterback prospect, Brock Berglund. There were some rumors on the board this week that he was in town and was committing to North Texas. Nothing, you know, solid.
It was real, you know, everybody was real excited about that in June or whatever, and then it kind of went wacky. Where are we at with that?
I don't know. I texted him today. I just haven't heard back. You know, I'll probably, you know, since he hasn't texted me back, I may give him a call tomorrow and see what he has to say. I mean, they obviously really, really think of him highly as a prospect. You know, they've been after him for a long time. He's got a prior relationship with Kent Riddle from when Kent was at Colorado. I mean, he seems to fit their system real well. Obviously, he's kind of developed a little bit of rapport with Coach Canales. Makes a lot of sense, especially with where Derek is in his career. I'll just be interested to see how it ends up playing out. Because, I mean, he supposedly is going to play this year in junior college, and I can't imagine how he wouldn't do it now. You know, he play a year out there in Arizona and then look to transfer somewhere. And, I mean, theoretically, he could transfer to North Texas after that and, you know, be the backup for a year or compete for the job with Derek. And then after that, he'd have 2 years, you know, free and clear, you would think. So, I mean, it seems like it fit as far as the situation goes.
Brett,
and we'll just have to see how it goes. I mean, if he can commit to North Texas early, I could see him doing that. Or, you know, he could play a year in junior college and see how it plays out.
Hey, Brett, does the big Houston upset set from Texas State, I mean, are you looking to maybe change your season projection?
Yeah, was that a surprise to you?
Well, I mean, of course it's a surprise, but the thing that gets me in it's this way all the time. I think everybody overreacts way too much to, you know, the random first game of the season or, you know,
come on, Brett.
What happens in the spring game or whatever. So you spend all this time evaluating what a team has got on paper, what you think is going to happen. The roster and all that, and I have a real hard time just absolutely throwing out everything that you thought about a team on the basis of one game at the beginning of the season, especially when you're talking about somebody that might be playing have a new coaching staff in place like Houston did, or, you know, if you're playing a BCS caliber team, then you maybe get way down early, and then, you know, maybe that team doesn't play with as much intensity the rest of the game. I'm not a big overreactor like that. I hearken back to, like, a few years ago at North Texas' spring game, and I forget who told me this. I wouldn't out anybody anyway. But I remember after the spring game one year, a couple of North Texas players played well, and somebody told me, man, Tyler Stratford and Jamal Jackson should be first-team preseason all-conference. There's no way that those guys aren't going to be the best wide receivers in the Sun Belt. Jarrell Jernigan and T.Y. Hilton, those guys aren't going to be nearly as good as these two guys for North Texas. And I'm like, what? You know, on the basis of one game or one spring game, or one thing that happens, I think you got to take a longer view of that kind of thing.
Yeah, but
I'm not one to back off and just completely throw out what you thought about a team on the basis of what one happens in 1 week.
So you still think, I mean, are you still holding your projection that Houston can handle up on us?
Well, I mean, I didn't – I never picked them game by game.
Oh.
But, you know,
wow.
I picked them to go 6-6. Now, that probably wasn't one I was going to pick early, but am I going to say, well, on the basis of what Houston's done over the past how many ever years and what North Texas has done over the past how many ever years and what they have back and what North Texas has back, am I going to toss it out because they looked horrible in their first game and immediately go, well, yep, that's a game North Texas is going to win? No, probably not. I'm probably going to wait to see how it plays out, especially since they changed coordinators.
Brett, the,
and, you know, I think they could, you know, those guys could get it back together. I wouldn't start writing people off after, you know, the first week of the season.
Well, and we can't count on his win. I was just throwing that out there. But everybody is getting a kick out of your response in the chat room. But well, you know, and that's smart. You
well,
didn't pick,
I mean,
per,
you know,
per game.
Troy, everybody thought Troy was going to be an automatic. You know, everybody was chalking up Troy as a win for North Texas. They went down, and everybody
that's
says
right.
UAB is horrible. Yeah, but they went down. They went down to play at UAB's place and beat UAB in their home house. And everybody says, well, UAB's terrible. Well, what was UAB's record last year? They were 4-8. They only won one fewer game than North Texas did last year.
What? Okay, let's. And people are asking about this. What are your thoughts on Arkansas State and Middle Tennessee losing to McNeese?
Well, Middle Tennessee's kind of been going down the tubes for years. And I've been looking on paper at what they've been bringing in, and I haven't been overly impressed. I just think their talent level as compared to the rest of the Sun Belt is falling. You know, I don't look out there and see where they're bringing in guys that you think, man, those are going to be really good high-level Sun Belt players. I just think that program is kind of taking a big step back. As far as what Arkansas State did, I mean, I don't think you can read – you know, I just don't think you could read a whole heck of a lot into what Arkansas State did on the road against – on the road against Oregon, any more than you could read into what North Texas, you know, losing pretty handily to LSU. You know, I'm just not of the opinion that you can take too awful much from those games. I think you got to wait till they start getting into games that are more evenly matched and Sun Belt games and that kind of thing before you start trying to evaluate those kinds of things.
So, what can you tell us about Texas Southern? I'll be honest, we got a big bag of nothing. I mean, I tried to do some research on them. I know they won last week, but any feel for what kind of program they're going to bring to Apogee?
Not really. I mean, supposedly they're just a really athletic team. They did have a big old win last week in a rivalry game, but, you know, those schools are very hard to research in terms of, you know, what they've got, who their key players are. I did put in a call to the guys down the Chronicle to see if I could, you know, get a minute with their guy that covers that team just so I could have a little bit better handle on them. I just haven't heard back yet.
Yeah, I tried to do some research about them. I know they've had some NCAA issues with grades. They can't go to the 1AA playoffs or FCS playoffs. So, you know, my point was, this is kind of their bowl game. You know, this is their big chance, you know, on a bigger stage than FCS to get a victory. So that's always scary. And I always think about, you know, the Dickey days. You know, I remember that Samford game, and there was another, you know, those games we'd go into them and we'd feel confident, and then we'd come out of that game, you know, with stains in our britches, you know what I mean? That sometimes they come back to scare you pretty good.
Well, you know, they're the types of teams you got to watch out for. They're trap games is the word I'm fishing for there. I mean, look what happened to Middle Tennessee. Now, I don't think this team's anywhere near as good as a team that, McNeese?
Yeah, McNeese.
Yeah, McNeese. I mean, McNeese beat Middle. Now, I would venture a guess that these guys aren't anywhere close to as good as McNeese is. But, you know, it's not something that you don't want to get into a close game with these guys. Yeah, you know, you want to go in, especially after you got pretty much blown out by LSU. You want to go in there, and especially in front of your home fans when you're trying to convince people to come out to games. You want to go out there and win handily and you know, build some confidence going down the line, especially when you have to go to Kansas State the next week, because that's going to be another brutal money game on the road.
All right, Brett, before we talk about any other sports, anything like that, let's real quickly, if you had to say North Texas performance, LSU, tell me the first name that pops out that you were really surprised about.
Surprised by? I don't know. I thought it played out fairly pretty much like you would have expected. I mean, Breland Chancellor just had the monster game, and I think you got to be surprised a little bit by those second by the secondary guys with Whitfield and Jimerson. Those Whitfield and Hilbert Jackson, the two corners. I think those guys were the guys that, you know, maybe surprised there a little bit in terms of what they were able to do in that game. Those were the guys that really stood out.
Hey, Brett, any other news from basketball world or in the other sports? I know we had a big women's soccer win over Baylor that everyone was real pleased about.
They just keep rolling along.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they play Baylor on – the girls play Baylor on Friday. This is like a big weekend. They've got Baylor on Friday, and then they've got Long Beach State on Sunday at a neutral site. So this is kind of their big opportunity here. They're 5-0, and the volleyball team's like 7-2. They barely – well, I mean, they lost to Texas Tech, but they played pretty well against them. So, yeah, like non-revenue-wise, it's going pretty well for North Texas when you start talking about soccer and volleyball and some other sports like that. And, you know, the women's basketball team, I finally got a hold of that that girl that now I'm forgetting her name, Candace Adams, the girl from down in Dallas, the guard. The shooting guard who committed to UNC. She backed out of her commitment to Texas after Gail left and Karen went down there and, you know, decided to commit to UNC, which was a huge get for North Texas. That girl's like a top 100 player nationally. So, and he's doing a pretty remarkable job. You know, when you start talking about all the talent that he's bringing in, he was smart to hang on to Wesley Brooks and brought in some really good assistant coaches, and they're starting to load up quite a bit there. So I think that's been an interesting thing to look at there.
Questions from the chat room. Men's basketball, anything new on the practice facility? And then I have a follow-up. Have you been to any basketball practices and any observations from the, from those?
Yeah, I have. I've been
– they're open?
I've gone to a few. I haven't gone to any lately. Once we get into basketball season, it gets a little busy. You know, we were talking about this earlier, but I think people are way underestimating the quality of the guard that decommitted from Mississippi State.
P.J. Sparks. P.J. Sparks.
No, P.J. Hardwick.
I'm sorry, Hardwick.
There we go. Yeah, sorry. I think people are really underestimating how good P.J. Hardwick is. I think that guy might, if he doesn't start, he's going to play a lot. He's one of the really good players on that team. I think him and you might end up seeing him and Chris Jones on the floor a lot. He's one of the, you know, five or six best players on that team by far. You know, they've got some other really good talent. I mean, they're going to be really deep. I think we all know Tony's just a stud, but you know, we'll just have to see how it works out from there. But I think Hardwick's going to be a really good player for him.
Did the John Odo news come as any big surprise that he did officially commit and sign to LSU?
I don't think so. I just wonder if that's not one of those worked out best for everybody in the end situations, you know? Because you think about it, Odo he's a foreign guy who was real big on a personal relationship. North Texas spent a ton of time. You know, Johnny spent a whole ton of time building a relationship with the guy. And that was why he was coming to North Texas. He wasn't going to come here if he didn't have somebody he felt comfortable with as a, you know, foreign kid, you know, that's only been in the States for a while. So North Texas ends up getting a guy that's going to play 3 years for him instead of him. He ends up at LSU. He's going to sit out this year, and then he'll have, as a redshirt, he'll have 2 years to play after that. A good get for Johnny, and then he picked up another player just the other day from another junior college, another big guy. So, you know, I thought it probably worked out best for everybody in the end.
Well, when are you, we've got the game Saturday. Any other news and notes, anything coming out in the DRC you want to share with the fans?
Yeah, I don't know. I spent a lot of time, on a story on Jeremy Brown that's going to be in tomorrow's paper. Everybody kind of knows his story a little bit. He was a guy that small school guy, went to White Wright High School, a small little two-way high school not too awful far from here. Had a good high school career, ended up at Abilene Christian for a while, decided to transfer here. And you look at it, I mean, he played a lot against LSU, but, you know, he's got kind of an interesting backstory. So I went and talked to his high school coach and his mom and some other things. I think that turned out to be a pretty neat story. His mom went to pretty big extremes to be able to pay her way down to see her son play down at LSU. And I think that's a pretty neat aspect to that story. She went the extra mile to be able to get there. It's pretty remarkable what she decided to do to get down there. And I think that was a very worthwhile story. And I think it's just a neat story on a kid who kind of made good as somebody who wasn't getting a lot of opportunity otherwise. You know, he made the most of his chance as a walk-on here. I thought that was a pretty worthwhile deal. I worked on quite a bit this week.
And we'll look forward to that. And, you know, he had some nice runs against LSU. Of course, he dropped the pill, and that's always a big no-no with Mac. But I definitely see some potential. He's a guy that could help us this year for sure.
Well, you would think so. I mean, you know, he's in that rotation of three guys, you know, that are playing quite a bit. And I don't think that's going to change unless one of them really emerges or something like that. I imagine all three of those guys will get a lot of time.
All right, Brett. Well, weather looks like it's going to turn out good for us this week. A lot of good things. You know, it's going to be nice football weather, and hopefully the fans will come out. Harry and I got this sneaking suspicion that it could be a little lighter than usual crowd this week and this whole season just by some of the signs we get. But we hopefully the students and all the other people will show up. So hopefully it'll be a good game, and we'll get to see a lot of highlight films, highlight plays next week. So we will hopefully get to talk to you next week or the week after, and we appreciate the time.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, have a good night.
All right, take care,
Brett. All right, that was Brett Vito, the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle. Always good to have him on here. Always asking questions because nobody follows it. Is anybody close there? So anyway, Harry, anything else?
Just excited about a real football game at Apogee Stadium. It's been a long time since we've had one of those, last year about this time. So I just can't wait to get out there. I'm excited, man. I think a lot of people are. It's going to be fun. Great weather, great. Hopefully a great game, and we can get the team to 1-1.
That's good, man. I can't wait. We will see you guys. Six just said you didn't give him his blog address. I know. If you want to see Brett's fine work, you can go to meangreenblog.dentonrc.com.
Very
right?
Nice. It only took him 5 years to get that down.
I hope that's what it is. well, I mean, because everybody follows it just off the website.
Yeah.
And he can't do meangreenblog.com because we own that one.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
So they can't use that one. So anyway, it is not meangreenblog.dentonrc.com. I'm not sure what it is, but just search Brett Vito or Mean Green Blog and you will get there and find his fine work. So anyway, we will see you guys later and talk to you next week. And hopefully we'll be talking about a win over Texas Southern. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.